This episode of Inside EMS Podcast is sponsored by LogRx. Learn a better way to track your narcotics at LogRx.com.
Well, it's another week, and you know it's time to go inside EMS every time Friday comes up. My name is Chris Sabalero. Kelly Grayson is on special assignment as he's training the next generation of EMS provider. I don't really know what he does. I just say he's training the next generation of EMS provider. He could be laying on a beach somewhere with some drinks. Who knows what he's doing? But I know he's not here. But have I got a guest for you when we talk about what we do in our career field, and when it comes to pharmacology, when it comes to giving medications, I've got a great guest. He is a past paramedic and fire chief. He is the founder and CEO of LogRx. It's Clive Savakul. And Clive, I want to thank you for joining us on Inside EMS.
Excellent. Thank you for having me.
You know, so you got experience. I mean, and I said a former paramedic. Are you still a paramedic? You're a former paramedic?
I'm no longer working, but I kept my license.
So you are a paramedic.
Yeah. I am a paramedic, yeah. It's too hard to get, so I never wanted to give it up.
I'm with you, man. I do the same thing. And, you know, it's like a general. Generals don't die. They just fade away, right? So that's what we are as old paramedics. But, you know, one of the things I think you have expertise in, we're going to talk a little bit about your company as we get into the show. But one of the things that we talk about with your expertise is pharmacology and compliance and, you know, being able to ensure that we're given the things that we need to give. And you've got a great product we're going to talk about. One of the things that I've always had a little bit of challenge with as an EMS leader is it seems paramedics are a little bit risk averse to giving medication, or especially given narcotics. And in your experience as a paramedic and your experience as a fire chief, do you think this really comes from a leadership side of not making the providers feel comfortable? Or is this just something we just have to train to say, treat your patients better?
My perception is it goes back to the training, because sometimes we get conflicting information of, especially in the West Coast with our homeless crisis, we get conflicting information of drug-seeking patients. At the same time, we get these patients that present in a situation like we should be giving them pain relief. And so there is probably something on the subconscious just giving us some apprehension of, okay, I'm going to administer this fentanyl. It's a deliberate act. It's going to have an impact on the patient. So maybe I'll just give a little bit. And so I think that's probably the biggest impact.
You know, I think that one of the things that we've seen and this has certainly happened in our career. I've been a paramedic since the mid 80s. It used to be that we used to give dose specific medications, i.e., you know, you talk about Narcan, you know, the dose was 0.4 milligrams to 2 milligrams is that we'd give. And it just seemed that we were just given 2 milligrams now as things were getting worse. And, you know, fentanyl came on and different types of opiates came on. But it looks like we're kind of deviating from that. You said something that was very interesting. You talk about drug seekers and paramedics, you know, they're really kind of being judgmental to say, well, I'm not giving you this medication because you're a drug seeker. But where do we have a drug seeker policy in our protocols? You know what I mean? So where do we change? Where do we move that from to say, just treat people the way they need to be treated according to the protocols and don't worry about what they're looking for? I think that that's one of the advantages or disadvantages of being a paramedic is we kind of just hold back what we need to give people.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's also an element of profiling, even on a subconscious level. And so it's like if we're walking down the street and we see a pit bull walking towards us versus a golden retriever, our brain subconsciously assesses the situation. And so when we go into like a homeless camp to treat a patient, we might already be on guard of, you know, I'm gonna hold back this because I'm concerned they're drug seeking in the first place. And so I think there's some big factors there on just our assessment of the situation.
No, I think you're right. I think that one of the things, you know, you talked about going back to training. And when we think about it, we give people, the EMTs and some paramedics and some EMTs, certainly, you know, the pharmacokinetics and the pharmacodynamics of drugs and the indications and the contraindications and the dosages. But I think we really have to do something more with compassion when it comes to pharmacology. I think we have to do more with dedication and advocacy for the patient, because I don't think we're doing that. I just think we're given the overall education and knowledge of what pharmacology is about, and using the words of synergy and using the words of, whatever it is. And we got to stop that. And I think we really have to start to think about give people what they need for the complaints that they have, and let's not flip a coin on maybe they don't need it, maybe they're drug seeking, and just kind of, give them the path of what we're trying to, trying to help them with.
Yeah, I've always talked to my paramedics as an administrator that they get, the questions always come up about how the patient care report should look. And I said, well, it should reflect the symptoms and the treatment you gave the patient. And so whatever policy and procedure or protocol you went down to treat that patient, if it's for, some sort of extremity injury or something like that, you should have the pain meds in the report. And if you didn't give them, then that's kind of a problem right there. That's why some ambulance companies do a great job with CQI and going through all the patient care reports to audit them and see, okay, did this patient get the best treatment?
And I think to your point, that's where the training comes in as well. After we've done our quality assurance to make sure that they follow protocol or they treated it appropriately, because we don't want people to be robots either. We want them to be able to have a little bit of autonomy to say, well, I didn't think that this was, and that's why I didn't do it. But then that goes back to the whole flipping the coin on the drug seeking thing. But I think that that's a good foundation, right? But I want to switch gears a little bit, and I want to talk about compliance, right? Because this is one of the things I think as a paramedic that we get drummed into our head. We need to make sure we sign out the NARCs. We need to make sure that our, all of our paperwork is done. We need to make sure that we have two locked cabinets in some states. The ambulance has to be locked, the cabinets have to be locked. But when we think about compliance, do you think that we take that for granted in the field, in the, on the street level?
Yeah, and it's usually culture specific, I found, with different organizations. And so, a lot of us reflect the mentors we came in under. And so if the culture of the organization isn't one of high accountability, then it becomes an issue. And with what I do now, I do see that vary from different organization. And so I think that's why it's important for it to come from the top to emphasize the importance of accountability, because as administrator, your staff is only going to take something as serious as you do.
One of the things that you talk about is my job as a leader, right? And I took narcotic security very, very seriously because it's our medical director's DEA license that he puts on the line for us to be able to operate. And we're a couple of mistakes away from a DEA investigation to where they can lose their livelihood if we're not doing what needs to be done. And their medical license, their DEA license, they're trusting me as the EMS leader to make sure that we have a program that's put in place that we're able to ensure that they can sleep at night, that their protocols will be followed, and the narcotics are going to be taken care of. But I don't think enough leaders have that, have that mentality that we need to be able to make sure certain that from a compliance standpoint, as you mentioned, this comes from the top down. Where do you think the big disconnect is?
I think that some people just assume it's going to be taken care of. And so you're like, I'm
Right.
doing my job. I'm treating the patient. I'm going to calls. I do a good job. I do my reports. So I'm not worried about that side of things. Let the administrators worry about it. And so I think that sometimes the disconnect isn't there. And so the emphasis needs to be there on, okay, the DEA has these mandates and it's there for a reason. These drugs can kill somebody. They kill thousands of people a year. And so having that reinforced education to the staff, I think, is what needs to bridge that disconnect.
Yeah, I think that that's a great point. One of the things that we have to remember as well is that we carry medications and we carry narcotics. And even though our narcotics may be locked, and I tried to carry mine with me all the time, so I knew where they were and I knew that I would be able to have good control of them. But I remember back probably 20 years ago, there was, and I don't even remember what city it was, Clive, but there was a medical bag that was stolen from the ambulance that had medications in them, cardiac meds and so on and so forth. And whoever stole it used them and really had a problem, and which affected the paramedics certification and certainly affected the agencies, right? So when we think about narcotics, when we think about how we handle drugs, we may have a little bit of complacency as well. Well, it's just Narcan. It's okay. They sell it in the store, or you know, it's just Zofran. It's okay. We can get it from our doctor. But really, we're the advocates for these medications, and I don't know that we're really putting enough emphasis on keeping them as secure as they need to be.
No, and I think that a lot of us come into the profession with rose-colored glasses, and that hey, we became paramedics because we want to help people, and you never have the thought that somebody else is maliciously going to take that drug and worse, put it saline in there or something, so then you aren't giving pain relief to a patient. And so, as a new paramedic, I just assume no, everyone's here for the right intentions, which probably everyone starts that way, but we also are in a profession with high levels of PTSD, which can lead to addiction. And so these are good people that just end up doing bad things because of the situation. So I think that we don't always think of those occurrences. And so I think that element right there isn't always on people's mind, because you're like, no, that's so-and-so, they would never do that.
Yeah, I mean, and you brought that up about, you know, people taking the drugs and filling it with saline. But I got to tell you, they've become even more experimental with drilling through the cap and then taking the, you know, taking the drillings and melting them back into the hole. And I mean, so they're not even popping the safety cap off anymore.
And now let's pause for a word from our sponsor.
Designed and founded by EMS professionals, LogRx provides real-time accountability of all your narcotics from cradle to grave. Reach out today for a demo and download the app on the iTunes and Google Play stores. And coming soon, LogRx will also track your medical supplies, equipment, PPE, and even vehicle checks. For more information, visit LogRx.com. That's LogRx.com.
So when we think about this from an organizational standpoint, you know, we really have to be able to set up a culture that we are keeping track of the medications and really doing a better job. And it's kind of what your company does. You're the founder and CEO of LogRx. And, you know, as a paramedic, as a fire chief, as an administrator, you needed to really, you know, you saw this from a necessity standpoint. And maybe you could tell us a little bit about LogRx and how you kicked this off. I mean, so we're talking about, you know, 2016, 2018, when you had your first clients. I mean, how did this come about? How did your idea for this company pop up?
I think as an administrator, you look at where there are holes in my organization. And then the way I would always try and solve problems, and I was looking at a problem and then I would work backwards. I didn't just go, hey, I want to start a company and what could I do? It was there needs to be a good solution for this. And people use pen and paper. They'll just pencil whip it. They'll write in the person that they say is the verifier. Where I worked for many years in Contra Costa County, on the monitor of the computers, we each had the paramedics had their employee number, and that was used as the password to get in and verify the narcotics. So it was out there and open. So it was just, everyone just took it for granted. And so my idea was, how can I build something that's easy to use? People can't pencil whip it. And there is going to be a program that helps them do their job, not one more thing that makes it harder. And so that's why we built into a mobile app, because everyone's got a smartphone that even uses biometrics for the verification. So we wanted to build something that would solve the solution and help the paramedic, not hinder them.
So what do you think, I mean, as you go out and you bring this to market, and what do you think has been the biggest misconception about documentation, compliance, as you talk to your new customers, that this is really going to solve this problem?
I think it's the acceptance of old practices. You know, there's this old saying of normalization of deviance. And we assume, okay, because everyone's been doing it this way on, for example, pen and paper forever, it's an acceptable practice. And they think if something goes wrong, they have this documentation. But the problem is no one really fills out the documentation that accurate. And when something does go wrong, the investigators have something that'd be similar to like a cleaning sheet that you see at an outhouse at a concert. Like that's what the checkoff sheets look like. And so it does not give the investigators anything, which then makes it so everybody is potentially culpable. And so I think the misconceptions in the industry are that current practices of pen and paper are safe, because they really aren't.
You know, one of the things that you said, it was a great analogy, and I don't want to steal it from you, because I think you need to set it up a little bit better, but you kind of had the relation to driving. And go ahead and share with the listeners that analogy of, of what that was like. Because I wrote that down because I thought that was a very, very great analogy that we don't consider, but hit him with that.
Yeah, sure. So with our company, we always use the example of is like driving without a seatbelt. So you're fine until something goes wrong, and then it's too late to put the seatbelt back on. And so with our program, if you're already using it, it creates that element of a seatbelt of protection when it comes to tracking your narcotics.
Yeah, and again, I think that goes back. You and I talked a lot about culture, right? We talked about what we're not doing. We talked about, how we think and we try to hold back medications. But are we really thinking about the factor of what compliance looks like? And one of the things that I think, Clive, and you may have a better understanding about this, I'm just going to kind of spitball here, but we're seeing a lot of prosecutions of EMS providers who are doing things that are relating to death. I mean, medication has got to be the same. If we give the wrong medication at the wrong time, we may not have had malice to do it, but we have to really be able now to take this compliance more seriously to say, I know I gave atropine and it wasn't lidocaine, and to that effect. But I got to think that there's somewhere along the line, there's got to be some legalese that's going to pop in that says, you know what, Chris, you gave the wrong medication and you killed somebody.
Yeah, and we actually even use our program to help pr protect the paramedics. We've had agencies call us and say, "Hey, we found this vial that was popped, that the cap was popped off. We're concerned it was swapped out." And so we go through and we through our program, we could say exactly whose hands it's been in, and we say, "All right, the best thing to do because you were able to find that vial right away is send it to the manufacturer, have it tested to prove that it's still fentanyl." And they said,
Oh,
"Well, we're not
wow.
investigating them." And I said, "Well, you're not investigating, you're protecting them by proving that the fentanyl is still inside that vial. You're showing that one of your staff did not take that drug." And so we try to use our program not just as an investigative and accountability tool, but to protect the paramedics as well, to show they're doing their job.
That's a great point, and a lot of times we really go to the negative to say, I'm going to make sure that you didn't take that. But on the other hand, you have it on the books to say, not only didn't he take it, but there's fentanyl still in a vial.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something that we don't think about enough, right? So, this is really one of those topics, Clive, that nobody really thinks about. Well, I guess you guys do because it's your business to do that, right? But when we think about this from an organizational level, and me as an EMS leader, I mean, what's the sell to me? So, how do you guys, bring this into the departments to say this is something that you need to do? So, for the EMS leaders that are out there, what do you hit them with to say, consider this, this is what we do for you, and this is how it could help your organization?
Well,
It
first
was
off, we
a
come in.
lot of questions there. Why don't I threw you like six
Yeah.
questions?
That's all right. I'll do my best.
Okay.
Well, one of the things that helps is our background. I'm not the only paramedic in the company. There's eight of us in the company. And basically being able to talk to people as a peer. For example, the example I just gave about the fentanyl, the vial, I knew that because I was a union officer for many years. And so I knew, okay, this is the things I need to protect my staff. And so how can I build that into our program as well? So when we go and we talk to new potential customers, we're able to talk to them as a peer. So when they bring up a challenge they're dealing with, or we call it a pain point, we can empathize. And so we'll talk to them and we'll say, okay, here's how our program can help you. This is the ways it works. And if it's not going to work, then we don't suggest they use our program. We want someone to be happy that uses it, which everyone has been. We have 200 customers, not a single one has ever left us. So we basically go in to find a way to help make their job easier because I've been in their shoes, and so I've seen what challenges they deal with. And so we try to empathize with the situation and show them how our program will make their life better.
Yeah, and I think that that's a great thing. And one of the things is this kind of sells itself too. This isn't a product where I have to kind of flip the coin and say, is this good for the organization or where do I put this in the budget? This is how have we not used this in the past? Are we comfortable with our processes to make sure that we're doing the right thing? So that's what I really love about it. But so if folks want to learn a little bit more about LogRx, what's the best way they can do that?
If they just go to our website, logrx.com, logrx.com. And really quick to your point about, it sells itself. Almost half our sales are referrals. because a company, an agency will use it and say, hey, this works so well, and they tell their neighboring agencies about it. And so we have a lot of referrals that come to us. And so that's been a huge factor. But yeah, to logrx.com, and then I'm also on LinkedIn, Clive Savakul.
Common spelling, I'm guessing.
Common spelling. Yeah. I'm not too hard to find.
So, Clive, I want to thank you for joining us on the show. And, this is really one of those things that, from a provider standpoint, from a leadership standpoint, the association with LogRx isn't just for the patients, but it's also for the agency. It's also for the paramedic. So I want to thank you for the opportunity to come and visit. Promise me you're going to come back again. I think we could do a lot of things. I'd really like to get deeper into talking about pharmacology. I'm sure you got people there that you can get on the show that we could just think about, classes of drugs, pharmacokinetics, and pharmacodynamics. I'd really like to kind of talk about in the future how drugs interact with each other that we don't take into account, especially now as we're moving into this community paramedicine world where we have to now think about medications that we're not carrying, but then we're seeing in people's homes. And if we need to give something, what do we have to take into account there? But I'm sure you've got tons of resources in your organization that we can learn a lot of great things from.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I love this stuff. I don't work in the field anymore, so this, and I've always loved being a paramedic, so this has been fun.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. And for everybody out there, I mean, when we think about pharmacology, it's a skill that we need to be able to hone. And are we spending enough time on the ability of learning how to give the best medications? How they act, what the action is, how they interact with other medications. And then, Clive being here from LogRx, what are we doing for compliance? And I got to tell you, as a paramedic in the truck who's in charge of those medications, we need to be able to make sure we have good compliance. We're documenting the medications in our chart. We're making sure that we have good narcotic, waste and sign and witness and all the things that we need from a compliance standpoint. But go ahead and check out LogRx. For Kelly Grayson, I'm Chris Sabalera. I want to thank our guest, Clive Savakul from LogRx, and he's coming back, so you'll see him again. Everybody out there, have a great show. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you again next week.